I do want to talk to you about Jesus, the man of joy, and Jesus, the man of sorrows. Think with me about Jesus, the man of joy, and this marvelous personality of his, the perfect blending of all of the best of human qualities and characteristics. And Jesus, a man of joy, infinite and perfect, and a man of sorrows, deep and unbelievably mysterious. Jesus, man of joy, who loved boys and girls, who loved to be with people. He certainly loved children. And there are some recent depictions of Jesus laughing. One of my daughters says, "Dad, I love to see pictures of Jesus laughing." And we're sure that he did. And who could be with a little child, especially like that one he's holding up in his arms, and do anything but laugh and be delighted? And the scriptures say that he loved to take children in his arms and bless them. And I think that must mean that Jesus loved to hold them close and give them a great big hug. Imagine being able to say for the rest of your life, "When I was a little child, Jesus held me in his arms, and Jesus hugged me, and Jesus blessed me." "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God." It's from Psalm 36. "Therefore," and we see them here this morning, and I can see when I've sat up here their faces, and it looks like they're used to being up here, and they trust the people who are up here, and they love the ones who are teaching them. And above all, children of men, put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. And it's so precious when boys and girls trust Jesus and entrust their lives to him. "For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light." Wherever they are in this building, Lord God, touch them and bless them. And may they know that Jesus reaches out to them and would take them in his arms and bless them, that he should put his hands on them and pray. The disciples said, "No," but Jesus said, "Let them come. Let the children come. Come to me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Whoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." And the scripture goes on to say, "Whoever harms a little child, whoever causes a little child to sin, whoever abuses a child," Jesus said it, "that person would be better for that person if a millstone be tied around their neck and they be cast into the midst of the sea." That's how much Jesus thinks of children and loving them and protecting them. And Jesus, the man of joy and the lover of boys and girls. And he loved nature. I won't forget that solo that I heard last Lord's Day. "His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." And of course that comes from the scriptures, where Jesus shows such an interest in the world of nature and talks about the sparrows, and not one of them falls to the ground without God the Father knowing about it. And Jesus said, "You are of more value than many sparrows." Well, the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus, the scriptures say, often went to that garden. And we think of his agony in the garden. We talked about that night that he was betrayed. And in the garden, the angels came and strengthened him. And here this depiction of the angel holding him up and agonizing with him in that garden. But not only a place of agony, the Garden of Gethsemane, a place of great beauty. We heard from Lloyd this morning about gardening and the sprouts coming up and the flowers blooming. And if you've been to the Garden of Gethsemane, and some of you have, you remember it as being a place of great beauty, with these old gnarled olive trees and flowers growing everywhere and beautiful grass and birds singing. That's the place that Jesus loved. He loved children. He loved nature. He loved this beautiful garden. What did he say about flowers? Why, he talked about flowers often. He said, look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work hard. They don't labor a great deal. But even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not as beautiful as this one flower. Jesus, lover of beauty, man of joy, loved the lake. He loved the Sea of Galilee. And again, some of you have been there, and you probably feel as I do. I've been there a number of times. One of the most beautiful places in all the earth. And I don't know if we will ever be able to go there again, but what a beautiful place. And I've lived beside it, and I've been swimming in it, and I've driven around it, and I've visited the sites. You know, the town on the edge of the Sea of Galilee called Capernaum is called in the Gospels Jesus' own town. I thought he came from inland, from Nazareth. But he spent so much time down by the lake that they called Capernaum his own town. He walked on that lake. He preached from that lake. He fed the multitudes beside the lake. He called his friends from the side of that beautiful lake. Jesus, man of joy. He loved people. He loved to be with people. He had his close friends, and he spent a great deal of time with his close friends, and how they loved him, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And we can begin the list of ever so many people who brought great joy to Jesus, and of course, it was reciprocated. He loved to go to feasts, and he loved to be where people were, and he loved to bless them. And we know that he loved to be a guest at weddings. And what did he bring to the wedding feast at Cana? Well, he brought a great deal to it. He brought only joy to it because he is the man of joy. There was more joy at the end of that wedding than there was at the beginning because Jesus was there. Are you getting married soon? Anybody here getting married soon? Make sure Jesus is on the list of those who invite. Make sure he's invited. He'll come if he's invited. And when he comes, why, he'll bring a great deal of joy and a great deal of gladness. And you'll be glad that he's there. And don't forget to send him a thank you when you put the cards together a few weeks after the wedding. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus thought about his disciples. And he instituted the Lord's Supper. And all around the world, Christians gather around the table of the Lord and find strength in the knowledge that the Lord Jesus has given and given and given for them and for their spiritual lives. But on that same night that he was betrayed, Jesus said to his disciples, "These things I have said to you, that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be full." How can you talk about joy on the night you're going to be betrayed? You're going to be tortured. You're going to be executed. But for their sakes and for our sakes, he remained the man of joy, even as he becomes, as he has always been, Jesus, the man of sorrows. Shortest verse in the New Testament, in the English New Testament anyway, Jesus wept. And perhaps one of the most significant. To think that God the Son wept. Tears of sadness over the loss of his friend Lazarus. Tears of sadness for Mary and Martha and their loss. Tears that tell us he understands our tears. He knows what it's like to have a broken heart because his heart again and again was broken. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often, he said with tears, how often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. His heart was broken for those who refused his offers. I would have given you life. He says, but you would not come, John 5, verse 40, you would not come to me that I might give you life. And Jesus weeps over those whose lives are filled with bitterness and brokenness, and yet who steadfastly refuse his offers of mercy and kindness and grace. Does he weep for you? Jesus, man of joy, bring joy to the heart of Jesus by coming to him. That's what he desires more than anything else, to be your Savior and to be your King. Man of sorrows, where do we find Jesus? We find him visiting places of wretchedness, of sickness, of need, of sadness, of desperation. That's Jesus, the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, going out of his way to find people who are needy so he could do something in his kindness to bless them. Great multitudes came to him, bringing those who were lame and dumb and maim and many others, and cast them at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. The multitude wondered when they saw the dumb speak, the maim made whole, the lame to walk, the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. Where's Jesus? Come into town and say, I think Jesus is here in town. Where is he? Find the most wretched place in town where somebody is really suffering and needs him desperately, and that's where you'll find Jesus, the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And when my life is filled with wretchedness and with need, I need to know that. Where is Jesus? Why, he wants to be with me. Someone said, if I were God, and they said it in derision, if I were God, the sorrows of this world would break my heart. Well, do you know, the heart of Jesus was broken on the cross. He literally died of a broken heart. My soul is sorrowful, he said, even unto death. And how the sorrows of this world still bring tears to the eyes of God and sorrow to the heart of our Lord. At the end of his life, the man of sorrows kissed into the arms of his enemies, mocked, beaten, scourged, crown of thorns. One of his most loyal disciples denied him 3 times. I never knew him. Publicly mocked, scorned, humiliated, and finally hung up on a cross. That's Jesus, forsaken and shamed and abandoned and denied and crucified. Man of sorrows. Misinterpreted, misunderstood. Have you been there? He's been there. Maligned and mistrusted, mistreated, no one ever more than Jesus. So much treachery and animosity and jealousy and hypocrisy and brutality all heaped upon this man of sorrows. And sometimes life is hard on us and people are hard on us. And we say, Lord, you just don't understand. Jesus could say from the cross with Jeremiah, is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow that is done unto me. What's that have to do with me? He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. When they were come to the place called Calvary, they crucified him, this man of sorrows. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They have no idea what they're doing. In my suffering, I desperately need someone to stand with me and to help me stand. I need someone to see me through. I need someone to weep with me as I weep until my tears cease, till the sun shines again, till the wind becomes calm. And he's the man. Jesus, man of joy. Jesus, man of sorrows. What a name for the Son of God who came ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. 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 What a Savior. Thank you, Lord, for visiting us today. And we would be silent for just a moment to sense your nearness and your profound assistance for all that we have brought with us today. And if you have not told him already, tell him you love him right now. He loves to hear it. And as you've maybe done many, many, many times, or as perhaps you haven't done at all, end this service by total and utter commitment and surrender to the man of joy who can give profound and deep and lasting, everlasting joy, and to the man of sorrows whose heart breaks and yet whose power restores. I really need to get home to my sweetheart, but somebody's there if I don't get home just as soon as I would like to. What I would equally like is the opportunity to pray with you about some need in your life. Perhaps pray with you a prayer of commitment and relinquishment of your concerns to Jesus. Or even have the unparalleled privilege of introducing you to Jesus, the Savior of the world. If you would give me opportunities like that on the Sundays that I'm here, I would go home with great joy. With that in mind, excuse me at the door. I'll stay here at the front for a few minutes at the close of the service. If nobody comes, that's fine. I'll be on my way. If you come, we'll pray briefly together, and we can both leave with burdens lifted.